If you've listened to my show, you know I really take Super Beats every day, but sometimes I get so caught up in my busy schedule that I can forget. And that's why I'm excited to tell you guys about their fantastic new product, Super Beats Soft Chews. Super Beats Soft Chews gives me all of the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats packed into two delicious soft chews that I can take with me wherever I go. And Super Beats Soft Chews comes with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract, that supports normal blood pressure, circulation, and natural energy in your body. They use highly concentrated premium grape seeds sourced only from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. The grape seed extract used in Super Beats Soft Chews was clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. Get your Super Beats Soft Chews today at danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third bag for free. That's danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617.
The framers of the Constitution prescribed a clear remedy for presidents who so violate their oath of office. That is the power of impeachment. Today, in service to our duty to the Constitution and to our country, the House Committee on the Judiciary is introducing two articles of impeachment, charging the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump, with committing high crimes and misdemeanors. The first article is for abuse of power.
Why? Abuse of power? So, okay, so there's nothing... Oh, gosh, I hate the fact that we have to talk about this every stupid day because this topic is so just moronic. There's nothing there. There's not... They moved from... When they talk about obstruction, it's literally the charge of, well, you didn't participate in our witch hunt of you, so we're obstructing you. Kane, why do you beat kittens? Why do you beat kittens and baby animals to death? We're going to investigate you, and if you refuse to participate, you're guilty of obstruction.
I don't beat kittens.
If you refuse to incriminate yourself, you are guilty of obstruction. That's literally what's happening.
I don't want to participate in this.
Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash, at DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on the Facebooks. So this is how we started our day off. The IG report, and I read it, and I don't see exactly what Democrats are, they think that they're excited for, but there's nothing there. So there's nothing. There's nothing. There wasn't any. I read the IG report. I made some boring notes of it because it's boring. There's nothing. The biggest takeaways, and we're going to talk to Andy McCarthy about this a little bit later. The biggest takeaways with us are the fact that first off, all of the Steele Clinton campaign oppo, and I'm not going to use the word dossier anymore because I cannot, absolutely, I'm just done with everyone going, the dossier. Can we just call it the garbage document that it is? Because it's trash. The burn book in Mean Girls had more legitimacy than the Christopher Steele Hillary Clinton oppo thing. The burn book from Mean Girls was more legitimate. More legitimate. So this, there's nothing in there. And the thing that at least criminal activity by Trump, the thing with the IG report is that it said that every single time that they went and they tried to reauthorize the FISA warrant on Carter Page, this garbage dump document that is the Clinton campaign oppo, whatever, it was instrumental. In fact, it was considered essential. It was considered central and essential. Those were the words that were used to describe it in the IG report. Additionally, there were a bunch of things that they really exonerated Carter Page over. And going over some of the notes that I have, they had really exonerated Carter Page over a few things. They also the IG report found that they had also, the FBI forgot to include in there that Carter Page had disclosed fully any Russian associations that he had entirely, and that Carter Page was so ridiculously forthcoming about everything. There was nothing that he was hiding because he had nothing to hide. This is all ridiculous. Furthermore, it also highlighted that Christopher Steele was so ridiculously just incompetent that he even had to admit in a British court that he was so ridiculously incompetent. At the same time that all of the stuff that he was doing, which he actually said couldn't be verified in that same British court, by the way, all of the things that they're banking on, he was saying that they were unverifiable, that they were not legitimate, etc., etc. So there's so many things in this that I don't know how in the world, unless they're all on meth, I don't know how in the world they can think that this is in any way a win for them, because it's embarrassing. Their new spin is that, well, there were some mistakes. I mean, they were incompetent, but not criminal. You know what? Even if, let's just roll with that stupid argument for one hot second. Even if there's the argument to be made that you're so incompetent that it is criminal. So, you know, pick your poison. Good heavens. But we are going to talk Danny McCarthy about this, because he made some good points. He had a couple of things that he's actually had a thing that he wrote yesterday about this. And it's incredibly. Here's the two questions that I, because I am literally made of questions on this. The biggest question that I have, though, is how an ever loving on this ever loving earth will FISA courts ever again be trusted to protect American civil liberties? How? I have zero, zero, zero faith in the system. And the IG report also detailed how this quote-unquote incompetency was at every level, all the way up to James Comey, who was running it, and even A.D. McCabe. Every level. Every. How in the world are we to ever have faith in these institutions again when they've been shown to be weaponized and go after private citizens for wrong think? Good grief. All of this. One of the other things that the IG report noted, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, and I might put myself to sleep saying it again, but you'll find it interesting, is that the IG report noted that there was purposeful conflation by the FBI when they were presenting this garbage document to the FISA court. First off, they obviously, we all know that they concealed its origin. But when they were later pressed upon it, it began coming out, they were conflating that, well, you know, it began as a Republican campaign document. Okay, hold up, full break, let's stop. Everybody out of the car. This is not a drill. Get out of the car. We're on the shoulder of the car. We're having a powwow. Get out. So this is how this works, because there are people who are either deliberately obtuse or they just woke up like Rip Van Winkle out of the rock from which they've been under these past several centuries. And they just realized, wow, so wait a minute. You mean that Oppo research takes place on both sides, even with both, even like Republicans against Republicans? Yes. So in the very beginning, in the initial early stages, Fusion GPS and had been working with some Republican outfit, which apparently has been like the avatar for all Republicans now, not just about Trump, but about everybody against whom that particular candidate was running against. And so they began compiling Oppo research on everybody. This is just absolutely so standard, it's boring. Everybody does this. Primary opponents do this all the time. But then as the election, as the campaign progressed and Donald Trump was going to be the nominee, and actually it was even before this, they stopped actually looking into this because they couldn't find anything really that everyone didn't know to sink their teeth into. And it was just pointless at that measure. So they stopped. And then later it ended up that same firm was engaged by Hillary Clinton and Perkins Coie, the Clinton campaign. And then they began compiling, they began doing Oppo stuff. And then that's how all of that worked out. So all of this is to say that it is ridiculous to argue in any way that it began as a Republican Oppo doc, because it didn't. There were two separate clients that Fusion GPS was working for. And the second one ended up becoming, because they included information from the Kremlin, ended up becoming the famed garbage flaming dump document that Christopher Steele was peddling then. So there we are. There we are. We got that. And I you know, I'm looking at this thinking all of this was concealed, and apparently there was no other vetting of this. Like, nobody went back and said, hey, can we just like double check where this is coming from? So we're going to cover this some on and off throughout the program today, because there was one former top FBI lawyer. I'm going to be honest with you. I wrote in my rundown, piddle off. That's what I have as that, because I was just done with it at that point. I don't know what time that was that I added that, but I was just done with it.
You've written worse.
No, I haven't. I am an angel. You've written worse. You know what? I don't think so. That sounds like some Russian collusion.
Worse. Mm-hmm.
So some former FBI lawyer, it was James Baker who said, well, he's the former FBI general counsel, by the way. He goes, I think the president should apologize to us, he said, for absolutely nothing whatsoever. Apologize for what? I mean, like, hashtag it. Apologize for what? Nothing. There's nothing there to apologize for. In fact, it should be him and others that are apologizing, not just to the president, but to the voter, because you try to rob us. You try to rob us of a free and fair election and send the country down a divisive rabbit hole, all because you lust for power. Good grief. We are the Gelflings. They are the Skeksis, except the story's going to end differently. We're not going to, at least in the prequels. So a couple of other things to touch on as we get moving on today. We're going to cover that as well. Impeachment, blah, blah, blah. They have the two little dippy articles of impeachment, which there's honestly, it's just garbage. It's a flaming pile of garbage. There's nothing here. Also, Emmanuel Macron says that I thought this was so sassy. Oh, my gosh. Sassy pants. The French president made a new appeal for a force in run up to the observing armistice. He's called for a creation of a true European army to allow the EU to defend itself from threats ranging from Donald Trump to Vladimir Putin. He said, quote, we have to protect ourselves with respect to China, Russia, and even the United States of America, end quote. And he actually kind of undermines what he was saying, because he goes later on, he says, quote, when I see President Trump announcing that he's quitting a major disarmament treaty, which was formed after the 1980s Euro missile crisis that hit Europe, who is the main victim? Europe and its security, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He calls for a true European army. That means you actually have to fund something, champ. Where are you going to get them dollars? You're going to pull them out of your couch cushions, because that's apparently where they've been sitting this entire time. You could have been contributing to NATO. But here's something very interesting to note. The entire reason that there's a peaceful Europe that has lasted for as long as it has. In fact, I think this is one of the biggest windows of peace in their history. And the one of the reasons that he's actually empowered to say something like that and not offer, I mean, just completely without gratitude, is because the United States facilitated that. The United States of America facilitated that peace through the creation of NATO and our majority funding of it, and also the majority of providing the boots on the ground for it, and the ammunition and the arms and the resources, etc., other provisions. The United States facilitated the very platform that he's standing on that gives him so much security to think that, hey, to announce maybe we could go it alone. And I really wish that he could, but unfortunately, looking at France's history of accepting every Tom, Dick, and Harry within their borders without further vetting, thereby causing numerous terrorist attacks and putting their own French citizenry at risk, doesn't look like it. So we have a lot more to touch on. Also coming up, like I said, we have Andy McCarthy is going to be joining us later on. Houston Police Chief Art Acevedo. And he has this ridiculous idea. There was a it was a sad story that took place, because there was a sergeant who was killed in the line of duty. He was murdered in the line of duty. Sergeant Christopher Brewster. He was responding to a domestic violence call that included the antagonist in the situation was a prohibited possessor with a reported history of mental illness. And Art Acevedo, on the back of this man, this hero who's more heroic than he is, Sergeant Christopher Brewster, whose family is grieving and we're praying for them. But Art Acevedo decides to pivot to hard left and just go off on some crazy political tangent where he's telling gun owners that, well, if you believe in the Second Amendment and you support owning firearms, you can't be for women if you support owning firearms, and you can't be for police if you support owning firearms. We're going to dissect his remarks. The last time I did this, he tried to use his position to bully me and threaten me with lawfare, even though I've extended an invitation very civilly to have a nice, polite discussion on my national broadcast, which also includes his area, and we'll see if he takes that invitation. But please do not threaten to use your position in law enforcement to go after a private citizen because they politely disagreed with you publicly, because not only is that a gratuitous abuse of power, but it's not really great considering the optics of everything that we're dealing with right now as it relates to FISA and FBI. We have that also coming up. The rage mob goes after a veteran-owned business. We'll also discuss pick your outrage. Star Wars Daisy Ridley says that every sane issue has a person with Trump, and also that she has no privilege when she was comparing herself to co-star John Boyega, and that made all the social justice warriors mad. And so here we are. So we got a lot of stuff to get into, and you don't want to miss a single bit of it. As we get moving on, also, if you wear earbuds and you actually like to hear things, perhaps check out Raycons, because Raycons, well, they're just their quality. They're amazing earbuds, and they're a fraction of the price as compared to everything else. In fact, Raycons, you can get an additional 15% off of them as well when you visit the website that I go to, actually, that I recommend to everybody, buyraycon.com/Dana. They just released their best model, the E25, 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, compact design. You get a nice noise isolating fit, and they come with gel tabs that you can snap on to make it A, more comfortable, B, more noise isolating, and C, I mean, really highly customized. They're made by people who actually understand audio. So check out Raycon. This is a great Christmas present, the best wireless earbuds on the market. They're half the price of the other snotty brands that sound horrific. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/Dana. If you've listened to my show, you know I really take Super Beats every day, but sometimes I get so caught up in my busy schedule that I can forget. And that's why I'm excited to tell you guys about their fantastic new product, Super Beats Soft Chews. Super Beats Soft Chews gives me all of the potent heart health benefits of Super Beats packed into two delicious soft chews that I can take with me wherever I go. And Super Beats Soft Chews comes with a new breakthrough ingredient, grapeseed extract, that supports normal blood pressure, circulation, and natural energy in your body. They use highly concentrated premium grape seeds sourced only from the world-renowned Loire Valley in France. The grapeseed extract used in Super Beats Soft Chews was clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels. Get your Super Beats Soft Chews today at danasbeats.com or call 800-664-5617. And when you buy two bags, they'll throw in the third bag for free. That's danasbeats.com, 800-664-5617.
Grab the digital archives and enjoy The Dana Show on the go through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I mean, it's just the Beach Boys with sleigh bells. I mean, that's pretty much it. And they say Santa. And it's like a whole new world. Okay. I was just thinking that. All right. We got it's headlines. A cyber attack cripples Pensacola as the mayor of the city admits he doesn't know if that's a link to Friday's terror attack when a Saudi gunman killed three at a naval base. And by the way, speaking of that, there was an exception under which the Pensacola terrorist qualified to purchase a firearm through hunting licenses. Coming up, I'm going to explain to you how Democrats' insistence on giving licenses to those who enter the country illegally or just to give out any identification so easily as they do actually contributes to this problem and betrays the claim that they have about gun control. So you're not going to want to miss that. And that's going to be coming up here next. Also, moving on down the line here, Hillary apparently is the top choice for Democrat voters. Oh, why in the world? There's actually a couple of polls out where she's one of them kind of is not really reliable because there's like a tiny sample size and it's pretty, you know. But she's in both of those. She's the top choice for Democrat voters. This guy's a hero. Some, not all heroes wear capes, man. Stephen Castor yesterday, did everyone see that he brought all of his docs to the hearing in a reusable grocery bag? I was trying to figure out what grocery bag it was, but I love some of the tweets. They say Castor dropping a strong hint that he wants a new bag for Christmas. And one of them said they were imagining a conversation between him and his wife. Babe, why don't you take that nice briefcase I got you for your birthday? Castor replies, don't worry, no one will ever notice. It's literally, it looks like a Whole Foods bag. Oh, no, wait, sorry. It's Fresh Market. It's North Carolina-based Fresh Market. And they jumped on the advertising and they tweeted that we would like to announce that we are the official briefcase maker of Steve Castor, which is so epic. I love when the internet comes together like this. Today in the UN is garbage news. Venezuela was just added to its Human Rights Council. Yay. The UN elected Venezuela to its 47-member Human Rights Council despite Maduro's horrific track record on human rights abuses, which really kind of undermines the whole idea in the first place that there is any human rights recognition at the United Nations at all whatsoever. Millions in the Northeast are bracing for a winter storm that's expected to bring up to 3 inches of snow and freezing temperatures by Wednesday. All I know is that when it drops below 60 degrees in Texas, it's time to break out them down coats because that's too much. Can't handle it. Tom Brokaw laments that Americans trusted the media before social media. And everyone else goes, no, actually, we trusted the media totally, like not all the time, never. Now it's just that you can be held accountable. So coming up, Democrats insist on making it easier for illegal immigrants to get driver's licenses. And Art Acevedo, Houston police chief. Well, kind of sexist idea on gun ownership. Stay with us.
A higher caliber of talk. Get Dana on demand through iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
No, law enforcement is one of the biggest reasons that the Senate and Mitch McConnell and John Cornyn and Ted Cruz and others are not getting into a room and having a conference committee with the House and getting the Violence Against Women's Act is because the NRA doesn't like the fact that we want to take firearms out of the hands of boyfriends that abuse their girlfriends. And who killed our sergeant? A boyfriend abusing his girlfriend. So you're either here for women and children and our daughters and our sisters and our aunts, or you're here for the NRA.
Oh, my gosh. So
it has to be either or.
I think that organizations can speak for themselves, but as for gun owners who always get lumped in with every single thing, and by the way, welcome back at Dana Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook, and watch all 3 hours on Facebook or YouTube and live. You can watch it live. And also check out DanaRadio.com, DanaLash.com, because I wrote about this. Houston Police Chief Art Acevedo, if you support 2A, then you somehow oppose women and police. Now, backstory here. He was making remarks specifically about the case of Sergeant Christopher Brewer. And this is just a heartbreaking case. They have surveillance footage and all of this stuff. He was murdered while responding to a domestic disturbance call. And this individual, because they had calls coming in, and there are some people who said on 911, I know that they're trying to look and see how this guy even got a firearm, because apparently on the 911 call it came through that he was armed, that this guy was armed, and he was there causing problems, and the police showed up, because that's what you do when there's trouble, you call police. Sergeant Brewster showed up, and he was apparently, it like happened right when he was like at the door. And then it was over. And it's just heartbreaking because he's recently married, as I understand it. He has now leaves a young widow, his family, you know, all of this. It's Christmas season when he should be celebrating and looking forward to spending time with his family. Now they're getting together under some very horrific reasons. And it's just awful. It's awful. And what I also think is awful is this eagerness by Art Acevedo, who does this kind of stuff over and over again, to politicize this man's death, his murder, the way that he did. Now, in his remarks, he's accusing Republicans of failing women because Republicans didn't want to reauthorize the Violence Against Women's Act this year. And this is something, I don't think that people understand this. This is an appropriations thing. So it's not as though, I don't think that he quite understands how this whole process actually ends up working out. Daily Mail had a piece that I have linked in here where it actually gets into a little bit the Violence Against Women's Act and just how the authorization and the appropriations, et cetera, et cetera. So he decides to, you know, he gets out there and says, well, okay, if you're for Second Amendment, then somehow you are against police, you're against women. The reauthorization, by the way, the Violence Against Women's Act, it doesn't change a single thing about this situation. It's almost, in analyzing this situation, the Violence Against Women's Act doesn't change anything about this. Not a single thing. And I'm not quite sure. It was just odd to me that he brought that up. The Violence Against Women's Act, by the way, the reason that it wasn't reauthorized this particular year is because Democrats decided to politicize and play political checkers with abused women by adding into it new additions, a bunch of really crazy gun control restrictions. And they also were trying to redefine due process by adding all of these addendums, all of these changes to the Violence Against Women's Act. Had they not done that, it wouldn't have been an issue. But they decided that they were going to politicize it. So they added this stuff into it. I've talked about this ad nauseum. So that was the issue. That is why there was opposition to it. It's because of all of these additions that Democrats chose to include, which, you know, why on earth would you, why would you jeopardize the passage of it this way? There were legitimate, very legitimate constitutional issues with the additions to the Violence Against Women's Act that prevented that actually resulted in these objections. This, and it wouldn't have mattered, none of this would have changed this outcome. And so, and I wrote about that over at DanaRadio.com or DanaLash.com. I wrote about that extensively. They politicized it, so it hindered its reauthorization. So he sits here and says, oh, well, you're totally fine. People, gun owners are totally fine with allowing abusers to have guns. That's not even anywhere accurate. And I'm frankly offended that someone who is in that position is going to make such a horrific and offensive remark. Domestic violence is already a classification of prohibited possession and is one of the categories over at NCIC. The Gun Control Act, it's 18 U.S.C. 922G. It makes it unlawful for certain categories of persons to ship, transport, receive, possess firearms or ammunition. And it includes, and bold was my emphasis, anyone who's been convicted of misdemeanor crime of domestic violence. Furthermore, the Gun Control Act also makes it unlawful for any person under indictment for such crime or imprisonment for a term exceeding 1 year to do the same, blah, blah, blah. I linked it, and I also described misdemeanor crime of domestic violence in legalese that hopefully he can understand, and I get into what elements are required in order to classify as such, et cetera, et cetera. And this is all codified. So Acevedo is suggesting that you can't support women and firearm ownership, or police and firearm ownership, which is kind of, it's equally ridiculous considering most police I know actually support firearm ownership. But what if you're a woman? What if you're a woman and you own and you carry firearms because of your previous experience with domestic violence? I've written about it in my first book, and I mentioned it online last night. My first experience with defensive gun usage was a good guy with a gun protecting his family against an abuser. And I know that the abuser in the familial case in which I experienced this, I know that the abuser would have loved it for my family member to not have been armed, because they're easier targets. So what does it say about us women who want to protect ourselves? What, we want to protect ourselves against ourselves? What, does it even make any sense? Why would he pivot to political divisiveness after remarking on the loss of Sergeant Brewster? Now, the idea that he promotes, and this made me mad last night, and it's not just Art Acevedo, it's a lot of anti-Second Amendment advocates. The idea that they promote, that he was, I mean, really was on display in that clip, is that somehow firearm ownership is a man's thing, and so if you support it, you're standing against women. That's what he's suggesting. It's so disgustingly sexist. I called it logical vomit, and that's what it is. Of course, I don't know. I was reading Acevedo's history, and it doesn't seem entirely surprising. Texas Scorecard had some very interesting notes, because he went from California to Austin, out of Houston. They report, quote, Acevedo leaves the capital city as yet another milestone in his legacy of disgrace. He was pressured to leave the California Highway Patrol in 2007 following a sexual harassment lawsuit from a woman who allegedly had an affair with him. Afterwards, he was snatched up by the city of Austin and hired as police chief, which, by the way, is a politically appointed position, not one elected, therefore accountable to voters. They continue, quote, in his nearly decade-long tenure in Austin, Acevedo has been pockmarked with rocky relationships and controversies. It's well known that Acevedo had a difficult working relationship with the city manager, Mark Ott. Acevedo was reprimanded several times for disobeying orders, including having his pay docked for speaking out about ongoing investigations to officers when told not to. In 2014, he exacerbated community relations for a tone-deaf comment in which he defended his officers for slamming a 19-year-old woman on the pavement for jaywalking and saying that sexual abuse by officers in other cities made his officers look good by comparison. During his tendency to constantly put his foot in his mouth, Acevedo has not shied away from the public spotlight and frequently grandstands for progressive causes. Last year, he testified against both open and campus carry. He caught flack for his comments on the latter, in which he stated that it would be better for a sexual assault victim to undergo counseling following an incident than to have had the ability to defend oneself in the first place. Isn't that just, though, what gun control advocates think? They think it's somehow more virtuous for a woman to be stripped and brutalized than for her to defend herself in any forceful or lethal fashion. Now, I will say, for those of you who are familiar with my relationship with him, he tried bullying me with a threat of lawfare because I publicly and quite civilly challenged some of his claims, and I invited him to discuss this on air with me. This is an invitation that I extend to everybody. So I kind of have a difficulty in taking seriously his claim that he cares about women when he freaked out on me. Let me just give you an example, because I've got a couple of examples here. So this all happened to do with Sanctuary City, because he supports Sanctuary City laws, and I made mention of that. And he wrote to me. He says, Blah, blah, blah. Stop misrepresenting and or lying about my views. Your action is leading to harassment by your minions. You may just make testing the limits of your dishonesty and cyberbullying worthwhile in court. Many top-notch firms would do so pro bono. Because literally, and it was Rachel who's sitting and running the TV side of this, sent him a nice email saying, inviting him to come on and talk with me. She'd love for it to have you on for a discussion today. You know, any chance you can make it work. And Art Acevedo loses his mind online. This is a police chief. Yeah, by the way, everyone who was for red flag laws, y'all still comfortable with red flag laws? Because Art Acevedo would be one of the guys coming to your door to enforce red flag laws. Y'all still cool with this? Check out and see how he handled a raid in Houston not long ago. And then he told me, he warned me and threatened me that I would be on notice and that he will be watching. And I don't know what the hell that mean, what that means. He goes, be on notice that we will be watching. Okay. Like, he threatened me with lawfare. And then I don't even know what this means, but he threatened me like multiple times with lawfare and bullying. And yeah. So, I mean, I'm like, and I go, really? I mean, it was shocked me. It completely shocked me. This is how he responds to free people asking questions of political figures like himself. So that was amazing to me. But with his problem here, you know, instead of encouraging women to empower themselves and to learn about firearms and train, or at the very least go to the range, you know, like once, gun control advocates like Art Acevedo, they treat women like weak creatures who suffer the crippling disability of our female sex, which renders us absolutely incapable of defending ourselves, much less using our dainty little wrists to pick up a heavy old gun. That's how he acts. It's sexist. And hell, this is 1950, is it?
Nope.
By the way, it reminds me the last time a Democrat did this, and that was another guy who hates me, Colorado Democrat Joe Salazar. He said that women shouldn't carry on college campus. I had this link. You can go watch the audio. He talks. He takes too long to talk. Quote, he says, it's why we have call boxes. He was saying that women shouldn't carry on college campus. Joe Salazar, quote, it's why we have call boxes. It's why we have safe zones. It's why we have the whistles, because you don't know who you're going to be shooting at. And you don't know if you feel like you're going to be raped, or if you feel like someone's been following you around, or if you feel like you're in trouble when you actually may not be, that you pop out that gun and you pop around at somebody. End quote. Yeah, this is what Democrats think of women. They tell us that, oh, ladies, be empowered. Go to Planned Parenthood and go do all of this. But, oh, my gosh, you all are too stupid and we don't trust your reasoning to carry firearms. You know what? Predators do like women to be unarmed, like the convicted rapist in Ohio that I discovered who was rallying for gun control after he was interviewed by media there. This is up at DanaRadio.com as well. January 30th, 2013, my headline, rapists agree, guns are bad. And it happened to do with a man, it happened to involve a man named Jerome McCory, who was being interviewed about Dayton, Ohio's the Bill Goodman's Gun and Knife Show. And so this guy, who is a convicted sex offender, he gets out there and he's talking about how people shouldn't be having guns. Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, predators agree that their targets should be unarmed and they don't need people like Houston Police Chief Art Acevedo helping to empower them while rendering women defenseless. This is insane. Whose side are you on? So you can go check that piece out with citations galore, video, audio, all that good stuff. In the meantime, we have more coming up. And we're also going to be talking about how the rage mob was targeting a veteran-owned business. And we're also going to get into the latest with impeachment, schmeachment gate, all of that jazz. And wow, we have a lot. As we move on, CarShield is a great program you really need to check out. Seriously, I don't know why you would not want to save yourself a lot of money in car repairs, but that's what CarShield is all about. They want to save you money so that if something breaks, which it's not an if, it's a when. Cars are so electronically controlled anymore. Touchscreens, sensors, everything else. It's not cheap to fix it anymore. So CarShield has multiple affordable protection plans. Save you a lot of money. Choose your plan. Choose your mechanic. Keep your mechanic. Go to the dealership. They don't care. They'll take care of the rest. In the meantime, you have 24/7 roadside assistance and you get a rental car until yours is fixed and free of the shop. They've helped over 1 million customers. Get covered by CarShield today by calling 800-CAR-6000 and mention code Dana. Or you can just visit carshield.com, check out all the plans, and use code Dana to save 10%. carshield.com, code Dana, 800-CAR-6000. Mention code Dana. A deductible may apply.
Delivering the truth online and on air. Listen to The Dana Show live on the radio or at danaradio.com or on demand.
I don't like this version. This isn't the National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation version. Mm-mm, it's not as good. Nope, not as good. Okay, so a few things to note. One of the things we're going to talk about here coming up also is this is, there's an update as it relates to, let me pull this up, the Pensacola terrorist. FBI Jacksonville said the exception under which the Pensacola terrorist qualified, they didn't say terrorist, they said shooter, guy's a terrorist, qualified to purchase a firearm was a valid Florida hunting license, but he may have qualified under other exceptions well. Okay, so this is what I asked on break. Forgive me. Who the hell hunts with a Glock?
I don't know.
Because he had a Glock. He had a 9mm. Who goes out there and hunt? That's what he had? And how did he get it? Because there's very few exceptions through which you can get it. So we're going to talk about how, honestly, I think it's Democrats' insistence that people who are non-citizens get driver's licenses and get all this and get all that. So you're actually making it easier for people to go and purchase firearms. In California, they did this when they started giving out free driver, well, not free, but they were giving, allowing illegal immigrants to get driver's licenses. Driver's licenses for everybody. Well, guess what? They ended up screwing themselves over because then that meant they had all they needed to really go and purchase a firearm. Because they had their ID, even though they were in the country illegally. And so constitutionally, well, not constitutionally, but ATF, under Gun Control Act, they weren't allowed to actually purchase firearms. But yet California had given them driver's licenses, which aided them in their ability to do so. So then they had to hurry up and rush real ID through. So all law-abiding gun owners in California had to jump through hoops because they decided to award all these illegal immigrants with all these different driver's licenses. And so that's, you make it more difficult for yourself. So I explored, actually, I went and I looked at the Supreme Court case on this, because remember last June, there was a Supreme Court case on this, wherein the Supreme Court, in looking at this ruling, ultimately, what they determined was that if you are... It's the green light laws in New York. We're going to talk about that. But if individuals who are in the country illegally, and if they go and they purchase a firearm, then unless they know that they're part of a group of prohibited possessors, then they can't. It's not criminal. We're going to delve into it because it's almost too insane to believe. So we've got that for you. We got a bunch of other stuff coming up as well. Don't miss a single thing. More of the Dana Show coming up. Patriot Mobile is important to me not only because they've been a long-standing partner with my radio show, but because they support the values in which I believe. Think about how you feel when you spend time around like-minded people, right? We always feel stronger and more supported, and it's just, you know, you just get along easier. It's fun to bond and fellowship with like-minded folks. So those people are who Patriot Mobile is taking a stand for, fighting for the things that you care about. And that's why Patriot Mobile is the smart alternative for people like you and me. When you switch to Patriot Mobile this month, you'll get a free Moto Z3 Play when you open a new line of service, plus a signed copy of Donald Trump Jr.'s new book, Triggered. So you get a free phone, Don Jr.'s book, and you can support your values with every call that you make. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana and use promo code ZFREE or call 877-367-7524. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 877-367-7524. Use promo code ZFREE for a free phone and Don Jr.'s new book, Triggered.
This was up and down the chain of command, and it's about as strong medicine as I've seen in a report of this kind in a very long time. The FBI's had some dark days in its past, but nothing like this recently. This is pretty strong stuff, and you know, whether the conclusions that the Inspector General drew about whether the investigation, just the start of the investigation, was properly predicated or not, whether he's right about that, saying that it was, and whether there was political bias or not aside, this was very serious misconduct on the part of the FBI.
Yeah. I mean, at every single level, at every single level. Welcome back to the show, second hour. You can watch all 3 hours on the live stream by accessing YouTube or also by accessing Facebook at DLash on Twitter. Find DLash also on Instagram and DanaRadio.com or DanaLash.com also. And you can follow all of that as it goes. So we're watching all kinds of stuff here, including just the latest with the impeachment thing. We'll talk to Andy McCarthy coming up in our third hour. But, you know, ultimately, there was nothing in the IG report that Democrats really have to celebrate. And I'm just not quite sure how this is going to pan out for them, where it relates to as it goes to the Senate. Not quite sure how that's going to come out. One of the other things that we're watching right now, there were some reports of, and I don't know where this is in New Jersey, but they have, they're saying that there could be an active shooter in Jersey City. And there's some video of news crews on the ground, NBC affiliates, etc. I'm not going to play. I haven't previewed this video footage yet, so I'm not going to play it live on air without having it previewed. But because you never know. But they have everything on lockdown there right now. That's all we know at this particular point. But as we get more information, I will bring that to you, and we'll continue to follow that story throughout this. But just the stuff that we do know, and it's they have law enforcement right now on the streets, and there's video of it as well. They said that there are one male and one female reportedly suspect. There was one cop that had been shot, and it was near the Kosher Bodega in Jersey City, New Jersey. So there's a massive police response to that. At this particular point, ATF is there. And reported as a New Jersey police officer shot by two suspects who was in that local. They were in that local bodega. So I don't know. I don't know anything about it. That's just what is right now, early on, being reported. And as I get more information, I will share that with you. But that's just the latest that we have. And there isn't, and I want to reiterate, the one thing that we don't have obviously anything confirmed by law enforcement, but the one thing that we do know through media reporting, and this is what's being reported by NBC, ABC, and I'm also looking at a couple of two different New Jersey media affiliates there in New Jersey, but it was at least one officer shot, and they have all the schools on lockdown. The scene's active, and there were two. One local affiliate there described it as a male and female. So two suspects in that they and another, and this ABC said that the shots were fired out of a bodega. So that's where they are. Massive police scene there. And as we get more info, that's all we have. As we get more information, I have no anything about any kind of any other victims at all whatsoever. But it is active, and apparently they do not have those suspects in custody. And as we get them, then we'll. And it was in a neighborhood, and apparently there are schools nearby. So obviously nothing good. And there was one high school. I think Henry Snyder High School is one of them that is on lockdown in Jersey City. So they have a helicopter. They put positioned snipers on rooftops, and so they're following, and they're trying to contain the situation and get these suspects in custody. And there are people that are listening to the scanner, and police may have just been successful in that. But they have SWAT there, ATF, as I understood, FBI, and that's. They two suspects shot a police officer. Don't know about any other victims at this point yet. So as we get more information, I will bring that to you, and we will. And I'll make sure we don't do speculation. I don't do stuff that there. It's not. It's unverified stuff. I'll tell you what's being reported, but I don't get into the speculation, just because I don't think it's helpful. It's not helpful when people are looking for fact to speculate, especially since so early on, there's a lot of speculation that gets it wrong. And that's the last thing that you want to, have happen. So we'll continue following that story as it goes on. And as we get information as to whether or not the cops secure that area, contain that situation, and neutralize that threat also. Some of the other things that we have been watching on all of this, I wanted to touch on this. This was a silly lawsuit. And apparently now it's, I thought it was decided, but now they're trying to say that maybe perhaps Elon Musk could face a retrial. So do you remember back when they had those boys that were caught, those 12 boys, Thai boys that were trapped in a cave, and all of these people, all of these divers and these, what is the official word for the, I don't want to say cave people. That's not the right term. Do you know what I mean?
Miners?
No, they're not mining. But,
I don't know.
And I don't want to say spelunkers, because that's not right, because aren't spelunkers... Now, don't laugh at me. I don't know anything about... Can't you spelunk down the side of a mountain?
Spelunking,
I don't know.
Sounds right, though.
I don't know. I'm pretty sure that Twitter will tell me when I'm wrong. But I'm not quite sure. Anyway, so the people who go into the caves?
Explorers?
But the cave was already kind of explored, I think.
Right.
I don't know. I watched Descent 1 and Descent 2, and I still don't know what these people are called. The cave folk. This is awkward. Okay, so those people. They had to go and spelunk down into the cave and save the boys, but it was really difficult because the passage, it was during the rainy season, and the passage that the boys went through when they were exploring ended up getting flooded. And so Elon Musk had made this, what is it, this thing that they can transport in?
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. Anyway, long story short, I don't even know how this fight happened, but there was one diver, cave diver, that's one of them, that he's like, that's a, you know, Vernon Unsworth. That sounds like a very stern name. He got mad at Elon Musk and was basically saying, oh, he's been venting stuff and we're saving kids. I don't remember. But Elon Musk apparently referred to him, and it seemed to be facetiously so, but he had said, all right, pedo guy, and that's all he called him. So this dude, Vernon Unsworth, sued him for $190 million. Wow. And apparently Elon Musk was vindicated in this defamation case because it's silly. It is seriously so silly. And I don't know if that guy would have had to pay his court costs or not. Because the jury reportedly sided with Musk because his lawyers were like, look, it was seriously a playground insult. Like, he's not seriously going, you are actually guilty of pedophilia. And I just love how he calculated $190 million. That's because the guy got into an argument with him online. And then so this dude, this Vernon Unsworth, apparently had a tissue, and he told the court all about the emotional distress that the slur had called him. It was seriously one tweet. And he says where Elon Musk told him, you know what? Don't bother showing the video. We will make one of the mini sub pod going all the way to K5. No problem. No problemo. Sorry, pedo guy. You really did ask for it. And then it just went from there. And so Musk told the court he was not implying that Unsworth was an actual pedophile. And Musk, he was seriously, I don't know. This is so stupid. The thing that gets me, though, listen to this. So the guy's lawyer, this Vernon Unsworth's lawyer, was saying that the jury needs to award his client $5 million in actual damages, $35 million in assumed damage, and $150 million in punitive damages. And that's how they got $190 million. I am not arguing at all whatsoever that the cave diving, spelunking, the cave activities,
yes,
that is not a valuable skill. It's a good skill.
Sure.
I get claustrophobic. There's no way I'm going down into a cave, right?
Right.
And I've watched Descent 1 and 2, as I told you. I mean, who knows what's down there? All I know is that in Missouri growing up, we just figured Jesse James was in every cave. You know, Merrimack Caverns. Everybody's been in Merrimack Caverns. But that's all lit and all that. And they have you can buy tchotchkes at the souvenir shop. So that's not what this cave was like. Anyway, I'm not arguing that it is not a valuable skill. But I'm just really curious as to how you will ever make $40 million in cave diving. Because to show for defamation, and these are some of the hardest cases to fight or to win, because you have to show actual monetary damage. And I'm just not sure that there were like $5 million in actual damages. Does he dive enough to make $5 million? Or whatever does he do? I don't know. I mean, I'm amazed by this. That's a lot of money. And I would actually be a little scared of the precedent that would set. And so they determined that Elon Musk did not defame him. And there's some stupid op-ed over at Business Insider. They say, well, it was a miscarriage of justice, Unsworth's lawyer says. It's not a miscarriage of justice. It was silly. I mean, come on. It literally was a playground taunt. Then that means I could sue everybody on Twitter for the stuff that they say to me, which is infinitely worse. I had somebody tell me just yesterday that my existence on Earth should come to an end. I mean, that's like way more hardcore than Elon Musk joking with this guy, calling him, you know, pedo guy. Seriously? I demand, pedo guy cost $190 million? You got, your feelings, hurt feelings cost $30 million. That's just for the, 40, 35 for assumed damages, and $5 million for actual damages. How are you proving this? I didn't really. Do they really make that much money doing this spelunking? Did they make that much money?
There's no way.
Fascinated by this.
No way.
He is a financial broker, but he is an experienced cave diver who splits his time between Asia and St. Albans.
Yeah.
Ooh. So he's a rich dude. No, I'm not throwing no shade, but for real, like 190, seriously, come on, dude, stop it. That would have worked in my favor. If you would have had, because wasn't this in California? Wasn't this tried in California? So that would have actually set up a pretty epic precedent for me, I'm just saying. My gosh, do you realize? I mean, I could go after some folks. So this was stupid, though. Seriously, it was. This is the right thing that happened. I mean, just get over it. People are going to disagree with you, and they're going to call you stuff, but that's not actual defamation. Good grief! But suing somebody for $190 million because your feelings are hurt, that might actually be. No one's going to read Elon Musk, his joking tweet, and go, "Oh wow, that guy actually must be a convicted pedophile." That's not how that happens. Nobody slapped one of those touchy kid bears as like a warning on any of his stuff. This is not how that works. Anyway, my word. All right. So coming up, question. So New York is going to issue driver's licenses to illegal immigrants beginning Saturday this week. It's known as the green light law. Think about this. Also think about how roll that with the story that we were talking about a little bit ago, how it came with, you have this guy from Saudi Arabia who is a non-immigrant alien. He's on a non-immigrant visa. Somehow he's able to get a hunting license in Florida and obtain a Glock, a 9mm, which I'm like, who the hell hunts with a Glock? I know people are like, well, I shoot armadillos with a Glock 10mm. Okay, that's great. He's not you, and you're not successful at it. Stop it. I don't know anybody who's ever taken a 10mm out there and gone, yeah, I took down this elk. You did not. The only person who's ever done that is probably like Ted Nugent. Stop it. You're lying. Show me a picture. Anyway, so this guy's a 9mm. That didn't raise any alarm bells? This guy who got upset because somebody called him pedo stash, porn stash, whatever. Yeah. He got mad. We got to get moving. I don't know what happened. All right. More to come, folks. Ooh, you know what? Also, I know, because I was going to tell you, I have my Super Beats things in here. I'm moving my head away from the mic, and you're just going to have to deal with it because I didn't take these earlier, and I forgot. And now I have them. So you guys can get your own bag because I ain't giving you mine because I don't believe in sharing, and I didn't raise my kids to share because that's socialism. So if you would like... I am Ron Swanson, but in female form. And I can do woodworking, but my husband does not like to let me touch any drills because we've had some bad experiences in that, and I just get too excited. I'm like, it's shaped like a gun, but it's like a spear. Anyway, Super Beats soft chews. These are really soft. They're wrapped up like candy, and they taste like candy. And I really don't want to talk to you about it anymore because I just want to eat it because it smells really good. If you were on the struggle bus for the drink, which I don't know why, it was only 4 ounces of water, you for real need to check out the soft chews. They are so ridiculously good, and they're good for you. They has all that potent heart health it has all of the heart health benefits and everything else. Also, it comes with a breakthrough new ingredient, grapeseed extracts. And so what that does is help support normal blood pressure and circulation and natural energy. And these highly concentrated premium grapeseeds, they come from apparently a super fancy place that's very ridiculously anal retentive about their grapeseeds. And it's called the Loire Valley in France. And these were clinically studied and shown to support healthy blood pressure levels, these grapeseed extracts. So check it out. DanasBeats.com. Buy two bags. They'll throw in the third for free. You cannot get that offer anywhere else. DanasBeats.com.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
NBC 10 Philadelphia reports that one police officer was shot in the head amid an ongoing active shooter situation in Jersey City. Every single public school in the city has been locked down, according to senior law enforcement officials and local authorities. SWAT responded in force. ATF is reportedly also on scene as well. The suspects are described as being one male and one female. The situation took place at a bodega in Jersey City just a little bit earlier. There is, as far as I've seen being reported, the two suspects have not been taken into custody yet. They are still not entirely clear as to the woman's involvement in this. They said that that at least one man was holed up in the bodega with a long gun, and that they described the attack as a, quote, ambush. I'll have more information for you on that subject as we get it. Moving on down the line as well, a Medicare administrator has billed taxpayers for $43,000 of stolen jewelry. Your tax dollars at work here. In this particular case, Seema Verma is the head of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and she is in the news because her luggage got stolen out of the back of a car, and reportedly it included in this, there was a lot of jewelry and stuff in there, and now she's trying to bill taxpayers for the things that were taken from her, which is insane to me. Also, Gallup says more Americans are delaying medical treatment due to cost. We have a lot more coming up. Go nowhere. We'll have an update on this Jersey City story unfolding now, too.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
You said I.
By the way, Volker never meant.
The gentleman has the time. The clock will stop if he's interrupted.
All right. Will this witness be able to cross-examine Mr. Burke like he's being able to cross-examine the opposing
gentleman
witness?
Is not.
That's a point of inquiry.
Not shout out in the middle of testimony.
You need to call balls and strikes the right way. You don't interrupt either one of them, Mr. Chairman. You're questioner or the witness. Bang it harder. It still doesn't make the point that you're not doing it.
Golly, could he bang that? Gavel. Bam, bam. Jerry Nadler. He really wants everybody. He's very excited and wants you to understand that he's got a gavel and you don't. Welcome back to the show. At Dana Lash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on Facebook as well. And 3 hours of the show that you can watch just by going to YouTube or on Facebook. And we'll be on other platforms here quite soon. I'm watching this story that is unfolding. Just a quick update with Jersey City. Police that have obviously SWAT. It was described as being a male and a female who had opened fire on police in Jersey City, New Jersey. One officer, according to the ABC affiliate there, is described as he was shot in the head. At least one suspect, they said, ran into a bodega. It's near the Bayview Cemetery there. The Bayview Cemetery in Jersey City, and that it is still, and I'm keeping an eye on everything, but they said that there were dozens of rounds fired. They shut down all the public schools in the area, as soon as we get more information on that, I don't have anything else about the suspects or about any other injuries and or any casualties either. Just the one officer that local media had confirmed. So as soon as I get more information, I will share that with you as well. We have been going and covering the crazy impeachment, this is. Two articles of impeachment have been introduced. None of them really. I mean, basically, they want to impeach Trump because he did not play along in their witch hunt of him. That's not obstruction. That's not obstruction. It's not, because he didn't obstruct anything. I mean, he made available everyone. He just says, I'm not going to go in there and sit down and have you do what they did. And they know what that was. That's exactly what that was. They know what that was. So this is, all of this is just, is insane. I'm looking at all this. It's all insane to me. One of the other stories that I wanted to touch on also is this story that took place. And full disclosure, it is a company that's, the business is co-owned by a family friend, and I am on the pro staff of that company. My husband sits on the board, but we've had him on the show before, Jared Ogden. He was on Nat Geo, Ultimate Survival Alaska, and has a company called Triumph Systems, and the Rage Mob got mad and chose them as their latest cancel culture target because they have this product that's called the Threat No Threat. It's a double-sided target. And they use it with the company's, this equipment called the Pivotal Trainer. And what you do is you hang the target up and then the Pivotal Trainer turns it to one side or the other. And the point of it is the company works mostly with law enforcement. civilians can get their products, but they work and train mostly with law enforcement. That's the bulk of their, and I spoke with them about this, that's the bulk of their consumers. And the whole point of having these targets, you have on one side a bystander that's holding a camera, and on the other side you have someone who's holding a gun that is pointed at you. And the point of this is to train law enforcement. And again, civilians can get this, but they typically they work more with law enforcement. It's to, the whole point of it is to train police to improve quick judgment, to train them to improve reaction, to limit mistakes. It's basically all about minimizing loss of innocent lives by those who just may be in the vicinity. And so it's purposefully, it purposefully is supposed to, like a black object, similar to the black object that is the gun that is being held by the target on the other side, because you're not so, it's training your brain and challenging you to use more variables than just a few when you're determining whether or not something is a potential lethal threat. So this is what, and I think it's smart for police to have something like this when they're training. Do we want law enforcement to use the most realistic scenarios possible so that we prepare them for the real thing? Or are we, do we want to make their training just as absolutely far removed from reality as possible, which negates any benefit at all of experience? I mean, that's the whole point. It's about saving lives. It's not about looking politically correct. It's about saving lives, period. And so there was a guy, he's a law professor in Kentucky named Joe Dunman. He took issue with this and he deleted his tweet, but he had tweeted originally, quote, this is a shooting target on display in the, quote, police supply section of a gun store in Lexington, Kentucky. And then the tweet, I mean, he tried, it went viral. He seems to have tried to prevent the ultimate viral result, but the internet's fast. And so all these people were saying, this is awful. And they were trying to craft this narrative that this is just training people to shoot people with cameras, et cetera, which, you know, I think is pretty insane to suggest something like that. It ended up, it was on Reddit. It was in a couple subreddits, including the one where the acronym is ACAB, which apparently stands for All Cops Are Bastards. Yeah, yeah. And it was on Instagram and Facebook and all this stuff. And then they got threatening emails and phone calls. And they had, they said over a 4,000% increase in traffic to their site. And it crippled their website. And it for a while, it stopped their ability to handle transactions online. Now, Dunman, I had asked him, I said, why did you delete this tweet? I said, did you delete this tweet and why? Did you not know that this is a double-sided threat, no threat target designed to better train law enforcement officers and civilians to exercise better judgment under stress when engaging potential threats? I said, the other side's a guy with a gun. And he did respond, to his credit. He responded. And he said that that he had deleted it. He said, I did not realize the nature of the target because I did not see the other side. I posted a misleading tweet about it. He said, the caption itself is accurate. It omits an important fact. And when I realized it was misleading, I deleted it. And so he still said that he didn't understand it. He didn't understand, you know, the point of, I guess, that target, which I, again, that's when, you know, you want police to have the most realistic thing possible when they're training. And so the rage mob just went crazy. They were, everybody and their brother was going at this company, a veteran-owned company, for crying out loud. And some of them were trying to manufacture this narrative that, oh, well, this target, a concept, by the way, that was created by veterans, this is a statement on recording police, and as opposed to it being literally a simple representation of the most common harmless item that every single person has, that if to the untrained and untested eye could be considered a weapon if people are not trained. Isn't that the whole point? I mean, don't people get out there and bitch every day that you want to make sure that that law enforcement has the training that they need? So why are you out here doing this? Good night. By the way, I've trained with this thing. The point is, and it is incredibly frustrating, the point is to test both your reaction time and judgment when you engage potential threats. And so the whole purpose of it is to reduce potential to innocence, lethal potential, because you're training to recognize what is or is not a threat in seconds flat. And you do it under stress. And sometimes they do it in low light. Sometimes they'll, you know, you're supposed, they add stressors into it. They do all kinds of stuff. And you're supposed to be able to perform optimally. That the side when it presents itself and it's the dude with the phone, that is when you literally, that's when you hold your fire. The other side where the guy has the gun punched out and is about to kill you, that is when, and I actually failed the first three times that I did this thing because it flips so fast. And what they do is they set up multiple ones. So you have to literally, sometimes you'll have three or four that you have to, look at. And you hesitate 1 second. That 1 second could be the time that the bad guy actually squeezes the trigger. You have to be super quick. And yeah, I failed it three times before I got to the point where I could. And I can't describe it. It's something that you have to go through when you're training. You realize there's, instead of just looking at, you know, a small black item that he's got in his hand, you're paying attention to more. You're paying attention to, okay, his arms are different. He's, you know, his legs, the way that his legs are positioned in the silhouette, you know, I mean, and they have different targets that they use. But the point is everybody went out there and rushed to judgment. I mean, achievement, too many curses. Everybody's on social media. The company's on social media. No one had the bright idea to be like, hey, can you tell me more about this target? What's the purpose of it? No, everyone wants to run with their bad judgment and just go off. I mean, for crying out loud, heaven forbid someone ask a question using the social media that everyone's on. No, instead of actually using social media to ask questions, get informed, and then raise awareness and or spread education, they use it for the rage mob. And they just use it to mass shame about things that they don't even know. Really? It's idiocracy. That's what it is. This is exactly the sort of life-saving training that we should champion, not misrepresent because people want to be morons about it. It's just so frustrating. It's so incredibly frustrating. I just wish it wasn't that way. There is one thing. There's a couple, actually several things. I noticed this criticism that, so the president was talking about Fox, and he's mad, and I have some friends of mine who are conservative. I go on Fox. Who are upset. And I know the president was, he doesn't like that, who was it, Pramila Jayapal? And some other people who are leftist, and the president was tweeting that he didn't, oh, Eric Swalwell, that was the other one. He doesn't understand why Fox puts on, he said, losers like Rep Swalwell, who got zero as a presidential candidate before quitting, et cetera, et cetera. And he said they were radical left haters, et cetera, all this stuff. And he says the Democrats wouldn't let Fox get near their bad ratings, and he says yet Fox panders. He disagrees with them having Democrats on. I actually don't. And I have a lot of friends who think this. It's not just POTUS. I have a lot of friends who think this. And I have some friends who don't. But as someone who worked with CNN, I actually had a presidential candidate jump on the network and tell me that, in fact, the request was that I appear with one of these people's apologists. And I was told this by the person who handled contributors. And it was Mitt Romney's campaign. This was back in 2012. Because I was incredibly critical of Mitt Romney. Even not just in the primary, but also in the general, because I did not like his, I worried about him on Second Amendment and I worried about him on healthcare and several other issues. He seemed nice and I was never mean or malicious. I just disagreed with him. I didn't name call him or anything like that. I was just, I disagree with this and I think that this is a bad policy, etc. Because it wasn't conservative enough for me. And interestingly enough, whenever I was on CNN talking about it, I would get pushback from the progressive that I would be on with, which was interesting. But his people, according to the woman who worked there who handled contributors, and she was telling me this, she was a nice woman. The word was that they wanted me to be on with an apologist because I was too critical. I was just mean. And I really wasn't, I wasn't mean. I was just very, I'm not going to, I wasn't even so much combative, more so corrective. And they disliked that. And it could have created problems. And so I think it's important for conservative voices to be where conservative voices aren't supposed to be. You can't just preach to the choir. You know, if you build a ship, it's not to stay in the harbor. And just use a cliche, but you understand the point. You need to be able to go. If you're going to change minds, you have to go where people think differently. Otherwise, you're just not doing anything. You're just talking to the same old people who think like you every day. You have to go, which is why I worked with them in the first place. It's why I have a record of going where people need to go, because people need to hear things. They need to hear things that maybe counter or challenge the stuff that they've been told. And sometimes the goal is just to plant a seed and not necessarily win the debate right then or there, which I did, or win the argument right then or there. Sometimes it's just to get out there and plant the seed and dispel stereotypes about people who believe in limited government. And I know that the left thinks the same way. I would never want to encourage that on the right. In fact, here on the show, when we open phone lines on Fridays, some of the first callers I take just because it's sometimes amusing. And then sometimes you have individuals that are serious. They actually care about the issue as opposed to yelling, and they want to have a genuine conversation. And those are, metal sharpens metal. Those are when you have really good conversations. I hope that we never get to the point where we encourage only echo chambers, because I think it's better for everybody. Who benefits when you have two competing ideals? The people who seek to benefit the most from those, the voters, right? I mean, when you have two competing policies and you want the best thing out of it for everybody, when you're able to debate that, that's a good thing. And don't just think that because something is, you know, promoted that is a Republican idea, that it's necessarily a good one, because there's been a lot of things that Republicans have promoted and proposed, like the Patriot Act and other things that have not been good, not been good for your privacy, have not been good for spending, have not been good for the economy, or have not been good for Second Amendment. So, you know, it's just like, keep that kind of in mind. There's a way to go about this. Definitely a way to handle it. I know we got to get going because we got Florida Man coming up. I'm also going to discuss the issue with driver's licenses to illegal immigrants, and we're going to get into that whole thing, especially with the Pensacola terrorist. So you don't want to miss that at all either. And we have Florida Man coming up next. Blink motion activated cameras are super helpful. I like Blink cameras because you can put them absolutely anywhere. The Blink XT2 cameras, they're motion activated. You can, if you're traveling or if you're just expecting deliveries, you can protect your home, your packages, your valuables with Blink's security cameras. Put them anywhere. When they detect motion, you will get an alert and a video clip on your Blink smartphone app. And I mean, you can just look at it, determine whether or not it's something that's immediately requires your attention. Moms, like, you know, I've used them for my kids. To talk to my kids sometimes, or just to let them know I'm watching. Sometimes I just like to scare them by putting them in random places in the house or outside and just test the limits of how far it goes. But they come, they're wire free. They come with they run on two AA batteries. They last for up to 2 years. Blink XT2 security cameras, it's a talkback one. It gives you that peace of mind. And it also, again, over this holiday season, helps protect your Christmas packages. Save up to 25% now through December 24th on Blink cameras and systems. Plus, you can get a free Amazon Echo with the purchase of any system while supplies last. Visit blinkprotect.com/sale. That's blinkprotect.com/sale.
You won't miss any Dana shows by subscribing to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
That's a cool groove. All right, so I am not at a loss for Florida person individuals. Let's kick it.
It's time for Florida person. It's time to check what Florida is up to.
Do you ever get behind somebody, like when they're checking out of the store and they're just taking forever? And you just get so aggravated, but you don't do anything about it because you're a good person. Okay, that's not this guy. That's not this Florida man. A Cape Coral man, in fact, because he got charged with battery because he got real tired standing in that checkout line at Walmart. So he punched the customer in front of him in the head. It was at Walmart on Pine Island Road. And according to Cape Coral Police, 69-year-old Henry Harvey, the man with two first names, became angry over all the people ahead of him taking too long at the register. And so he got sassy, started sassing off, and an argument resulted. And so then he just punched the victim in the head. Officers later located Harvey at his home and arrested him. The victim was not seriously injured, thankfully, because Harvey punches like a sis. Moving on down the line. It's true. You didn't know that. Didn't know that. This seems bad, this story. This is from Tampa Bay. A Florida man caused a crash that sent a boat flying. Park Boulevard was closed for hours because a Florida man decided to cause a giant crash. He just had a boat, flew off a trailer, and it closed the road for 5 hours. Sylvester Manning, 66, was arrested on DUI charges after the crash. Troopers noted in the arrest report that he had three previous DUI charges. And so he's in lots of trouble. He posted $6,000 bail. Ooh, he got beat up bad, too. His forehead, he got cuts and stuff. Ooh, not good. And last but not least, a Florida couple got in an argument. This is New York Daily News. A Florida couple got into an argument over impeachment, and they got into a fight. Ernest Ford, 62, shoved his 60-year-old girlfriend to the ground, arguing whether or not the president should be impeached. The two became engaged in a verbal dispute about impeachment hearings, said Manatee County Sheriff's Office. The victim, who lives with Ford and his girlfriend for 7 years, had been his girlfriend for 7 years. She tried to walk away, but he just kept on going. It is not clear who was for or against whom in this story. Third hour coming up next. Don't be those Florida people, and don't be that man on the Walmart who gets mad standing in line. Back after this.
No, I didn't. I probably should have, given the statements he made about the Mueller investigation. But I did not see that one coming, quite frankly. And it was disappointing, given the as Andy was saying, the conclusions are quite clear that the president's statements over these past several years were all wrong, that there was no hoax, there was no conspiracy to overthrow anybody, mm-hmm. there was no sedition, there was no treason, there's wrong. No evidence of any of that. And as you suggested, quite bluntly, I think the president should apologize to us. I respectfully asked him to, I would ask him to apologize to me, to my colleagues, because the things he said are just wrong. And
Yeah, he can stop talking now. It was from Cuomo's panel, it was Baker talking about that. Their counsel talking about that. Nope. Don't believe so. Welcome back to the show. Third hour. Andy McCarthy will join us later on. At DLash on Twitter, official Dana Lash on the Facebooks. And watch 3 hours of the show. You can live stream that bad boy, Facebook and YouTube. And make sure you check out DanaRadio.com or at DanaLash.com. Both will take you there. There's a lot of new content up there that you want to check out. This steel garbage fire of a Oppo doc, everything was false. Media went just guns a-blazing in it. They are all about it. And now we're supposed to believe that same media, who is in a way kind of implicated, we're supposed to believe them and take them seriously when they say, oh, well, this was totally great news for Democrats. In what way was it great news for Democrats? Because, you know, I read it last night. I didn't want to, but I did. I read it. And it did. It's basically what Democrats are saying that the garbage dump Oppo doc does is, well, it confirms Carter Page was colluding. Yes, it does. That's what the that's what this dossier does. They love to use words that they think they can pretend to mean something else. No, it actually doesn't. There's the only they don't have any evidence, actually, of any kind of Carter Page collusion. They just say, well, the dossier confirms it, except there's nothing in the dossier that actually confirms that. So what? Well, it's in the dossier. They are all Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Seinfeld. And that one episode where she keeps saying, where she hears that woman who keeps saying over and over again the word, my fiancé. You remember that? They're sitting at this awkward party, and it's one of those horribly miserable moments. Everybody's been to one of the where you're sitting and you don't want to talk to the person that you're talking to, but you just can't. You're trying not to be rude, which I say don't care about it. If they're annoying you, get away. Life is short. But the woman keeps going, where's my fiancé? I simply cannot find my fiancé. And that's when Elaine says, maybe the dingo ate him. And so it was just so, it was good. That's what this reminds me of. It's the dossier. It's in the dossier. Except it's not in the dossier. There's nothing in that garbage dump of an Oppo doc. That's it. There's nothing in there. Yeah. And then you have Christopher Steele, who keeps trying to be like, well, I'm an investigator. I mean, I'm not investigating anymore, and I got fired by the FBI. And I mean, essentially what I am is an advocate, but I'm a pretend investigator. He is as much of an investigator in this as I am, you know, Bob the Builder. I mean, for crying out loud, this is all, there's issues. And they, speaking of issues, there were a lot of issues with Christopher Steele's credibility. It's amazing how none of this came up, just kind of crazy. So no independent, I don't know, did the Department of Justice have independent corroboration of Steele's, of anything that was in it? Anything? Anything, Bueller? It's one of the questions I want to ask Andy McCarthy. I'm very interested in here because he had a little sassy piece up too. Andy McCarthy, sassy McCarthy, he had a little piece up too, and he was like, look, this is blah, 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 and he just went off, so it was good. In like his lawyerly way, so really not at all, but I could tell in his tone, I could tell. He just gets, you can tell when he's on television and he gets flummoxed. It's fascinating, because he just, you know, he has that look like he's done with this. So it really, I mean, they can sit here and they can introduce some sort of articles of impeachment, but there's, again, there's no criminality. They're just mad because he won. And the ACLU even says, and here's something interesting to note. The ACLU, who are not exactly our BFFs, right? The ACLU. The ACLU is like the girl that you don't really like in biology who ends up going to the dance with the boy you were going to ask or that you were hoping was going to ask you. That's the ACLU. Anyway, so they actually came out and said that the process that the FBI was managing was so horrific and it was so rife with errors That they, by the way, they had issued a statement saying that they were already going to implement reforms. But yeah, the ACLU is said it was an absolute mess. It was a mess. The ACLU, pretty amazing. I mean, that's every now and then they'll get it, you know, broken clocks and stuff like that. But yeah. So in looking at this, and Barr even says, yeah, it does seem like the FBI was not acting in, at all in any kind of good faith. Yeah, well, I would say so. It doesn't seem like they were at all. And then you have, because of all of this and because they're looking at the lay of the land for 2020, some of the purplish Democrats, some of the more moderate ones, there's like 10 of them. Kurt Schrader from Oregon. You got Ben McAdams out of Utah, which can we sidebar for a minute? How does a Democrat get elected in Utah? How does that happen? Where did that guy come from? Where's that Democrat? How did he get in there? How did that Democrat get elected in Utah? Where is he from? Where is he from? Under the lake bed? Because I've never, how does that happen? Anyway, so the, this is, Nancy Pelosi is in a position that she's never wanted to be in. And so now she's trying to finagle her way around the impeachment nonsense and then also try to get to at least save her numbers in the House going into 2020. But now you got these moderate Democrats. Maybe that'll give her some cover. We'll follow all of that. One of the other stories that I'm got to get into or I'm going to freak out. Where's this at? Oh my gosh. Can we stop politicizing the manger scene at Christmas? You social justice churches, stop it. Claremont United Methodist Church. I am made of quips on this right now, but I'm going to hold it. The minister, her name is Karen. Oh. Which is so unbelievably appropriate. So Karen is, she says that this manger scene reflects the time in our country when refugee families, it's like, have you read the Bible, Pastor Karen? Have you read it? I'm just really curious. So they created, Karen's church created a nativity scene that depicts baby Jesus, the Virgin Mary, and Joseph as a family caged and separated at the U.S.-Mexico border. And then this is how she captioned it. This is what Karen wrote between screaming at the Target manager. The theological statement posted with the nativity in a time in our country when refugee families seek asylum at our borders and are unwillingly separated from one another. We consider the most well-known refugee family in the world. Oh my gosh, stop. Do we all remember why Joseph, Mary, and Jesus were returning to Bethlehem? It was because of a government-mandated census. They weren't refugees. And by the way, they were also traveling within, you could say, the entire, ultimately, the entire Roman kingdom at that time. So technically, because of the way that the lines were drawn and because of who the ruler was and the lands had been conquered at the time, they actually weren't going to out of the territory, so to speak. History is important. No, they were literally traveling there. They weren't refugees. They were traveling there because the government was like, all ye must come here to comply with the census. That's literally what they were doing. Are you telling me that that's what people who are crossing the border illegally are doing, Karen? That, oh no, these people are just coming here for the census. That's right, the census. I don't really think that that's biblically accurate. I really don't. I'm trying to be nice. No, I'm not. I just feel like this is like one of those flipping over the tables in the temple moment. Really do feel like this. And I just cannot stand people who, first off, they're butchering biblical history and they're politicizing the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to make an inaccurate and anti-historical argument, because this is completely devoid of any kind of accuracy historically, and or really this is not a smart argument to make. I'm trying to be nice here, but this kind of stuff aggravates me. I mean, you that they Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, they came because it was mandated by the government at the time to come for the census. All y'all better get up here and sign up. Got to register for the census. That's what this is. That's what they did. And so this isn't even correct. I mean, this is not even correct. This is like a Monty Python skit, right? This is what it seems like to me. So Karen's like, oh, well, you know, all are welcome, etc. And, you know, you can just stop politicizing Jesus. She said Jesus grew up to teach kindness and mercy. Jesus also was like, be accurate. You know, and I could sit here. I just looked at the clock and I was trying to figure out how much time we had. I mean, I could sit here and I could go back to all my earmarked, because I have my app that I also like cross-reference with my Meat Space Bible. And we could go in and look at the directives that God gives shepherds, particularly, and what he tells shepherds and how they are to shepherd and minister to their congregations and how they are to be accurate and how they're to lead people and help them on their journey to develop a closer relationship with the Lord. But, you know, one of the things that is bad is when you're sitting here basically saying if you believe in illegal immigration, then you want baby Jesus in a cage. Yeah, that's some flipping over the money tables in the temple kind of stuff. And that's the reaction that it actually does deserve. Because, I mean, Jesus also said, give unto Caesar what is Caesar's and God what is God's. And he also was imploring people to make sure to follow the laws of your land, which Karen apparently missed those conveniently, those pieces of scripture in the Gospels. And I'm happy to have that discussion. I had another discussion with another preacher at one point who decides to go out and what was it? He was saying that Barron Trump deserved to be mocked because his dad's bad. And I asked this pastor, I'm like, well, show me this idea where the son has to pay the sins of the father. And he went and tried to show me something in Numbers. And I'm like, I know you did not just pull out something from the OT, ignoring the new covenant with man, pastor. Let's have a conversation right now. Let's go. Actually, and let's go. If you want to cite OT, let's go back and look at some Jeremiah. Don't mess. It just infuriates me with this stuff. Stop it, Karen. Stop doing this to the nativity scene, Karen. By the way, quick sidebar. My husband makes fun of me for saying nativity. That's correct.
That is correct, isn't it?
Nativity.
What's he saying?
He says the short vowel, and it sounds ridiculous to me.
Nativity?
Nativity. I'm like, who says that?
Sounds like a candy bar.
Nativity. That sounds ridiculous. It's nativity.
Nativity. Now with more nuts.
Golly. Who does that? All right, we got a lot of other stuff. Ooh, apparently Hunter Biden's love child, she wants details about his lucrative Ukraine work. Ooh, man. So the Republicans may not be able to do it, but his baby mama may be able to. I'm just saying, dang. We're going to discuss all that and a bunch more. And we've got, oh my heavens, I think more things than we can shake a stick at. We're going to talk to Andy McCarthy coming up. We're going to get into some more of the impeachment stuff. We got some headlines and we got to date in stupidity. So you don't want to miss one single second of it because that would be sad. Patriot Mobile is my cell phone service. I've used
At least five.
I've been here 6 years, so probably five. About 5 years now. And I know the people who are like, who ask me about it, I don't get questions about ideology and all that stuff. The first thing I get from people is, how much are you actually saving? And what's the service like? And et cetera, et cetera. I have the unlimited plan, so you have to keep that in mind. I have the big, giant Cadillac unlimited plan because of the work that I do. But with my big, giant Cadillac unlimited plan, I still pay less than what I did when I was with my big, old, giant, big, big mobile phone service. And the cool thing is that all the other cell phone companies out there, they don't need a lot of money to gun control groups and Democrats, let's just be real, and Planned Parenthood. And I don't want my money going there. And I feel like, you know, just saying that, well, it's just easier for me to have this big mobile phone service than to switch it. I feel like you should be a good steward of your money. And as much as you can, make sure that your money isn't leaking out to sources that either undermine your faith or undermine the things in which you believe or undermine the things that you really believe in that you use to protect yourself, like your Second Amendment rights. And so with Patriot Mobile, they only support issues that we believe in as limited government, God-fearing people. And they also spend a sizable amount of money. They donate money that comes from what you pay for your service to these issues. They have great U.S.-based customer service, and when you visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 877-367-7524, use promo code Dana, and you can get up to 2 activation fees waived. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, 877-367-7524.
Missed anything from the show? Subscribe to Dana's Daily Podcast by subscribing on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever podcasts are available.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss.
It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I've been spending my break talking to my oldest son only in GIFs for the past couple of days, and he's like, stop now. No, we don't stop. Can't stop, won't stop. A Marine was arrested at an airport after a bomb joke in the security line. Apparently, no one laughed. The story with this, Marine Corps Times says he was making a joke. Air Wing Marine Lance Corporal Joseph Simkus, apparently, you know, just shouting fire in a crowded theater. They say the young devil dog and joke enthusiast from the Marine Corps Air Station at Cherry Point, North Carolina, was on his way home to visit family for Turkey Day, and then he was making a joke, and he was talking about hiding C4 along his belongings, and then apparently when he went through security, he told the TSA, yeah, don't joke about C4 in your stuff, because they pulled him out of line. They are not even playing. So he got in trouble. There's no arrest. He got in trouble though for this. You can't do stuff like that. Oh goodness. Moving on. This this is the one I wanted. I was looking for the chicken guy and I found it. It'll make sense in a second. So a designer releases a $50 KFC stained t-shirt line that smells like KFC after it is soaked in the restaurant's gravy. His name is Coleman Larkin. He's from Lexington. He says the shirts have a, quote, slight aroma. The whole clothing range is soaked in KFC gravy for a day, drained and given a chemical bath. They create the garments in partnership with a retailer. They celebrate the Kentucky. And, yeah, and it looks like it. The shirt literally just says gravy. He soaks them at home. Are y'all interested in that? $50. Andy McCarthy's next.
Entertaining, educational, and relentless. Get your on-demand dose of Dana. Listen live at danaradio.com.
Partially. I mean, you know, again, I think the words that Senator Cruz says, the first step, this is just the very beginning. There is so much more. I mean, every page, there is tons of additional information which we can then provide, and I think the coming lawsuit will definitely help get to the bottom of all this.
Well, and that is Carter Page saying, look, I do feel vindicated. And I was reading this. I was reading the IG report, and I'm really trying to find the big giant smoking gun, for the lack of a better way to put it, that we were always promised was in here from Democrats. And I mean, my goodness, they made it out to like Carter Page was Vladimir Putin himself. It's like Scooby-Doo. And then James Comey and everyone else was Scooby and the gang, and they just pulled off Carter Page's mask and it's Vladimir Putin. But that's, I mean, for the most part, you can't deny that's kind of how they presented it. Joining us now, Andy McCarthy, who has followed this and has given such great insight on it. He's also the author of the book that came out. If you haven't gotten it, I'm just thinking, you know, Christmas, Ball of Collusion, The Plot to Rig an Election and Destroy a Presidency. And he has a great piece that is up at National Review wherein he discusses how this actually hurts Democrats more than it helps them. Andy, always a pleasure. And I want to get your reaction. Do you feel that Carter Page has been, for the most part, mostly vindicated by this?
Oh yeah, Dana. I think he was vindicated before this, because you know the most oddball circumstance of a fact pattern that has many was always the fact that they went to the FISA court 4 times, alleging that this guy was an agent of Russia. Under circumstances where American law requires, if you're going to make that allegation about an American citizen, you have to have evidence. And they said they had probable cause that the person is engaged willfully in intentionally in clandestine activity on the part of a foreign power, and the activity has to be a probable violation of American law. They went back 4 times, and they never charged this guy. It's astonishing.
Never charged him.
Yeah. And, you know, look, there's a lot disturbing in this report, but I think he ought to feel he ought to feel vindicated, but he ought to feel very angry. I know if I were in his shoes, I'd feel very angry.
Yeah, the other, and you noted this because you have a couple of pieces on this, and you also you have another piece on the Grassley Gray memo. You had discussed that originally, and with this, and what the IG report also concludes is that the FBI, there's no argument, they did conceal the origin of this this Oppo document, this dossier, from the FISA court, which is. It made it political, not so. It wasn't about investigation. It wasn't about truth finding. It wasn't about fact searching, because they weren't really substantiating their claims. And it's incredibly important to know where did this come from, because that kind of informs a little bit as to the purpose it is to be used. And you highlighted that, and with regards to the IG report.
Yeah, well, you know, in a criminal case, I was a prosecutor for a very long time. If you knew that fact, you know, that he had been, his work was being sponsored by the Clinton campaign, and you didn't disclose it to the other side, you'd get your head cut off. I mean, you know, that would be you might get the case thrown out if you managed to convict somebody, but holding back something of that importance is obviously problematic. And Dana, I would suggest that it's more problematic in foreign intelligence or counterintelligence, because unlike a criminal case where when I was able to go to a judge in secret to get a warrant of some kind, we all did it with the assumption that eventually I'm going to file an indictment, right? So everything's going to be public. All my representations to the court are going to become known. Whereas in counterintelligence, everything's in secret, and they never think anyone's going to check their work. So it's a higher obligation to be transparent with the court. And I've just said, you know, along the lines of common sense, you've seen this footnote, right? It's a page and a half long, the footnote. So to my mind, just, you know, old Bronx spun wisdom, if you're writing a foot and a page and a half long footnote to avoid saying the words, working for Hillary Clinton's campaign, then that means you need to write working for Hillary Clinton's campaign and save yourself, you know, several hundred words.
Would the FISA court have granted this? Would this application have been accepted had they disclosed that, in your opinion?
No. No, wow. I think what it would have done, well, let's remember, first of all, they made the judgment that without the Steele dossier, they didn't have probable cause for the warrant.
Right.
And what they told the court was the reason to believe the dossier, which had some pretty outrageous claims in it, was that Steele was highly credible. And their whole thing was like a pain to Steele's credibility, to the point we now know that they lied to the court about it, right? They said that, for example, his information had previously been used in criminal investigations. Not true, right? So they obviously knew from the fact that they inflated his credibility, that his credibility was extremely important. And I think if you had poked holes in it, even just a couple of holes, that would have caused the court to ask a lot of questions that they wouldn't have been able to provide satisfactory answers for. So no, I don't think if you disclosed fully his credibility, such as it was, no, I don't think you could have.
Or lack thereof. Far. Right, or lack thereof. And you noted that too, and you also mentioned how you think it was maybe less maliciousness and more stupidity, and with something like that, because I thought you did a very good job in one of your pieces where you discussed how, you know, in these sorts of in these investigations, you're not hanging the weight of the case, or you're not using the credibility of this one individual, of Christopher Steele. You're looking at the credibility of the sources, like how good, how legitimate are the sources?
Yeah.
And that brings up the question, I mean, was there any other independent corroboration of his reporting anywhere else? Because I know that there's a redacted portion, and I would think that would be incredibly germane to this for national discussion, unless that compromises national security somehow. I think that we need to know that.
Yeah, it sounds to me from the reporting we've heard that they did try to corroborate him and were unable to do so, except with respect to facts that were not in dispute, like did right. Carter Page go to Russia? You know, yes, we all know he went to Russia. The question is, what did he do there, right? So we knew that they hadn't been able to corroborate him. I think we now know, Dana, from this report that it's even worse. Because the thing is, Steele has a network of sources, which he developed, by the way, not when he was a British agent, but after he was a British agent. Now, imagine this. He hasn't been in Russia since, like, 1998 because his cover was blown there. So the guy hasn't set foot in Russia in 20 years. He's relying on one guy who is his subsource, who has a network, right? And that subsource has another subsource who was the main witness. And we now know that the Bureau finally talked to Steele's main subsource, who basically said his reporting doesn't reflect accurately what I told him, and what I gave him was a lot of conjecture and innuendo and rumor that needed to be run down. So they did have information about the subsource, and what they do is they go to the court when they're renewing the affidavits or the application, and they say they've now talked to Steele's subsource, who they found cooperative and credible. But they don't tell the court what he cooperatively and credibly told us is that Steele is full of, I shouldn't laugh, but you can laugh or cry, right?
I could tell that you were having a chuckle when you wrote your last piece, because you were saying, I can't tell if it's just Adam Schiff being humorous or tongue in cheek here or what. I could tell you were enjoying
Well, if they're going to give us this kind of material, we can't screw it up, right?
You can't. Do you believe that throughout this process? I mean, is it fair to say that the FBI violated Carter Page's civil rights? I know that's a huge discussion. ACLU apparently just weighed in, and they seem to believe that they did.
I think so, yeah. Now, did they actionably violate it such that you could either have a civil or criminal case? We'll have to see. There's criminal civil rights laws. For what it's worth, Dane, I think it's interesting you raise the question, because I've been asked like a million times, what do you think Durham is up to? And it's not an idle question. The point is, Durham's a prosecutor. I was a prosecutor for a long time. I've always said, you know, if you wanted to get a narrative history of what happened here, then hire a historian or a journalist. But, you know, you hire a prosecutor to make a criminal case, right?
So
you look, if you're Durham, you're looking at this as a potential criminal case. So the first thing you have to ask yourself is, well, what lens, what criminal law does it potentially fit in? And I think that the most potentially relevant fit would be the civil rights laws, because they specifically talk about interfering with the rights of Americans to do things like participate in the political process, you know, campaign, run for public office, and the like. So, you know, potentially this could fit under that. And I've always thought Durham must be looking at this through some criminal laws. And the only ones that, you know, leap to mind are the civil rights laws and, you know, potentially, I guess, obstruction and fraud on the court and that sort of stuff.
Right. Well, and this whole process, the way in which the IG report was grading it, basically, was incompetency, I know, is one of the arguments that I've heard from Democrats, but I just don't know if incompetency is the correct word to describe it. But, you know, for regular, average, everyday Americans that look at this, I mean, if they're able to just sort of excuse this sort of persecution, I guess, if you want to say it that way. And I know that they brought up some other concerns. And, you know, I want to know if there's that's why we have these processes. You want to know if there's someone in elected office, someone high up in elected office that engages in something that is detrimental to national security or the interests of the country or American citizens. And it's why we have it. But at the same time, to see it used in so political a manner, with really nothing coming of it, no result except just, you know, again, more political bias. It makes me wonder, I mean, can we ever actually, after this, can we trust the FISA courts again? Can they ever be again trusted after this to protect American civil liberties?
Yeah, you've really hit on the main point, because I tell people when I'm talking about the book, I'm as interested as anyone is in politics and the history of the elections and all that jazz. But I came at this as a national security guy who applied these laws, and the biggest danger here. I was a criminal prosecutor for about 8 years before I even knew the FBI had this night job of national security and these FISA laws and all this other stuff. What you learn when you're up close to it is that it's the one area of security and the one area of government where they have to be able to look you in the eye and say, you can trust us to wield these really awesome powers of investigation. Because we can't protect the country unless we can do this kind of surveillance and unless we can do it secretly, which means that, if you have to hand up the people who are giving you the intelligence that we need to protect the country, you can't protect the country. And we have people who are out there trying to mass murder Americans. Yes. So this is like serious business. And what they did was they took this thing that we need to keep in a way that the country can trust the people who are using these laws, and we now have everybody suspecting that they can't be trusted to use them. And what I worry about is the public outcry is going to be, we can't trust the government to wield these powers. We have to either peel them back or repeal them, and the problem is you can't protect the country without them. So it's a real dilemma, and I think the only way out of it is you have to hold people accountable when these powers get abused. We have to show that we can operate this system, and we don't expect perfection because it's a very human endeavor, but when people step out of line and abuse these powers, they can be held accountable. And if they can't meet that test, I fear for our security. I really do.
Yeah, last quick question for you, Andy. You mentioned they have to be held accountable. What are the penalties for something like this, for these government officials?
Well, a lot of them, of course, have been terminated one way or the other. You know, they've been encouraged to spend more time with their families, or they've been some have been fired, some have been moved out. But the big question, obviously, is did people do enough that they crossed a line into criminality? And that's an answer I guess we find out from Durham in the coming months.
There we go. Andy McCarthy, author of Ball of Collusion. Make sure you get it and order it on Amazon. Good Christmas present. National Review, he's got a bunch of really good pieces up there that give some great insight into this. Andy, so appreciate your perspective on this. Always very fair and very steady, and it's a nice calm in the storm. We appreciate your time with us. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Dana. Merry Christmas if I don't speak to you before. Take care.
Merry Christmas, Andy. Thanks so much. Folks, we have Still in Store today in Stupidity, and you do not want to miss that. And then, of course, make sure you check out DanaRadio.com, DanaLash.com also. All right, so you all know I'm a huge animal person. I love dogs particularly. I actually just found out I was allergic to cats yesterday. I am moderately, a little bit leans more to, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm kind of like at a 7. I'm allergic to cats. I didn't know that, but now I do. Not to dogs, thank heavens. And I am always about supporting and encouraging individuals to be good stewards of their environment. That's what conservation is. And I love working with the people at Delta. First off, Leo Grillo, he left Hollywood to go live on a mountain and give dogs and cats and horses pettance and take care of them and just make sure that they're protected for the rest of their lives, which sounds like a dream job. So Delta Rescue, that's what they do. It is the largest no-kill care for life animal sanctuary in the entire world. And these people really, they are not hypocrites. They legitimately do. Animals that are abandoned or born in the wilderness, Delta Rescue is there. They give them every day, all day long, fresh water, treats, toys, affection, and the animals live out their lives in peace and safety. They have specially trained attendants, veterinarians, animal hospital, and now because of the Christmas season, Delta Rescue and I, we want you to see the special Christmas movie called Magic for free. It stars Christopher Lloyd. It's a great film for the family, and it also helps teach kids about caring for animals and being animals and being good stewards of, you know, your environment. And animals are awesome, and they're great friends for kids too. It's a good movie. Fox named the film Magic to their top 5 Christmas movies, and it's yours free this holiday season. Visit deltarescue.org/Dana. Look for the feature films tab, and while you're there, or check out their tax-saving estate planning. That's deltarescue.org/Dana.
It's the Dana Show.
DanaRadio.com. DanaLash.com also. A little Diana Ross thing in there for y'all. And a lot of content up on the website. You need to go and check it out, especially the post. I'm going to get into this deep tomorrow because this is something that's for the weeds, and you need to know it. New York is issuing driver's licenses to illegal immigrants, and I want to connect that to how this is playing out with people who, like the Saudi air flight student who was able to get a hunting license and somehow get a firearm. By the way, they grounded a bunch of Saudi aviation students just now. That news coming through. All of that and more up at the website. Have a great night. Back with you tomorrow.